prices, grocery store prices, the everyday things that people are experiencing. So can they continue to sell this or even try to sell this to the American people?
Yeah, I wonder if you just had a, you know, family being interviewed or talking to them at the White House lawn about GDP. They don't care about those kind of things. They care about what they're paying when they go to the grocery store. They care about what they're paying when they go to the gas pump because of bad domestic energy policy and them getting squeezed every day trying to help their family survive and keep up with the cost of living. I just told the group today, you know, Biden's taking credit for driving inflation down. He created the inflation to start with. So he's fixing or trying to fix a problem that he created. But the bottom line is prices continue to remain high, and hardworking Georgians and hardworking Americans know that. And that's why people are not giving President Biden credit for this economy. And that's why they know that Bidenomics and Pickard and winners and losers in Washington, D.C. is not working.
Isn't that the truth? Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, talking about Bidenomics and the CPI report yesterday. Stay with us. More to do as we continue. We got a busy, busy day today. Stay with us as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, the drumbeat for Biden to drop out. Getting louder or getting softer among Democrats? We're going to be facing up to that reality here.
9 to noon on AM 670 KMZQ.
Bill O'Reilly here, and I'm warming up. Stand by for the O'Reilly Update Morning Edition. If you thought booking your timeshare was difficult before, you know it's almost impossible now. For more than a decade, Lone Star Transfer has helped thousands of owners legally and permanently get out of their never-ending timeshare fees. Lone Star Transfer guarantees the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and in a specific time frame. For free, no-obligation consultation, please call 855-551-7066 or go to LoneStarTransfer.com. On this Thursday, here's my problem. Somehow, as a child, I began to believe that fairness was important. So I challenged what I thought was unfair. Bad things followed. The nuns who taught me at St. Bridget's School were overwhelmed by having 60 restless urchins staring at them every day, and crowd control, not fair play, prevailed. That set up confrontation between me and the Sister Marys. I lost. In high school, the rich kids dominated, and the working-class students, like me, were expected to accept that. I did not, and fought the concept to a draw. I also earned some respect in the process. Forget about my broadcasting career. Fairness has long been extinct in that industry, just like in the political world. Now, today, many Americans are upset because no powerful person will be held responsible for the Russian collusion fraud. That's not fair, they say. And they are correct. It is not fair. But neither is the entire bureaucratic system in Washington, D.C., and perhaps in your state capital. What we have there are entrenched politicians not looking out for the folks, not trying to deliver fairness to the people, but trying to cover their own butts. CYA. And when you have that, you do not have fairness. Back after this. Eating, exercise, golf, pickleball all cause inflammation. But now Revolutionary Relief has a natural alternative to help you. Their daily gels are great for ongoing support for internal inflammation. And the roll-on stick is a great way to keep cool and calm in your golf bag when that old injury starts to scream. For a limited time offer, the roll-on stick is yours free if you go to revrelief.com/bill. That's revrelief.com/bill. That is the Morning O'Reilly Update. More analysis later on.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, this is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
I like to dream. Yes, right.
data from that Emerson polling in Iowa. Since the May Emerson Iowa poll, Trump's support has decreased by 13 points from 62% to 49%. Ron DeSantis, not much better. He dropped 6 points from 20% to 14%. Tim Scott's support increased 5% from 3% to 8%. Haley's support increased 2% from 5% to 7%. And Ramaswamy, 5 points up from 2% to 7%. We'll have more on this polling as it becomes available. Stay with us. More to come as we continue. Mick Akers from the RJ joins us next right here on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
This is Wayne Alaroot. Ron Quince has announced his candidacy for Congressional District 1. Ron Q is a conservative Republican who's lived in Southern Nevada for 20 years. He's no carpetbagger. Ron Q is a successful businessman and philanthropist. He's half the age of Nancy Pelosi, so he is the young blood that we need in Congress. So, Ron, why are you running?
When I look at my two little girls and their future, I can't sit around and watch the stupidity that comes out of this White House and continues to be supported by Dina Tynes. These people are nuts and they're dangerous. They trample on the Constitution, they are ruining our economy, putting dangerous criminals back on the streets, and opening our borders to killer drugs and human trafficking. And they declared war against our families, our values, and our cherished institutions. My family legally immigrated here 40 years ago to pursue a dream of freedom. Now I must pursue that freedom for our community. It's time to take back our country.
Thanks, Ron. For more information on his campaign, go to RonQForYou.com.
Paid for by Ron Quince for Congress.
Broadcasting live from the Dream Dental Studios on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. One key element of Biden immigration policy has been ruled illegal by a Texas federal judge, striking down the DACA program.
That's an Obama-era federal policy that prevents the deportation of hundreds of thousands of immigrants brought to the U.S. illegally as children. But the judge declined to order an immediate end to the program and the protections it offers to recipients.
Correspondent Keith Peters says the White House promises an appeal. A federal judge has struck down the New Mexico governor's order suspending the right of legal gun owners to carry firearms in Albuquerque and vicinity. Mitt Romney makes it official, the Republican senator from Utah announcing he is not running for re-election next year. Meanwhile, one of President Biden's favorite columnists is urging him to hang it up.
The headline on the Washington Post column doesn't mince any words. President Biden should not run again in 2024. The opinion piece was written by David Ignatius, who likes and supports the president and his legislative accomplishments. But he writes that it's time for Mr. Biden and Vice President Harris to step aside, saying it would be a wise choice for the country. Ignatius says the president's age is a serious drawback and has been the subject of dinner table conversations across America this summer. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Americans stepped up retail spending modestly from July to August as the price of gasoline spiked again. Retail sales rose 0.6% last month compared with a revised 0.5% increase in July. Inflation at the wholesale level accelerated last month. That, according to the Labor Department, out this morning with its producer price index. 14 hours before the strike deadline, UAW President Sean Fain says offers from the three Detroit automakers fall short, and the union is set to walk. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 230 points, the NASDAQ ahead 37. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Donald Trump warned America. The U.S. dollar is under attack, and it's becoming less and less valuable by the day. Hyperinflation and speculation is killing your retirement. Don't leave your money sitting in cash. It's time you diversified and protected your future with physical precious metals. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and get your free digital dollar survival kit and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver today. Call Advantage Mortgage Gold now at 800-900-8000 to get your free digital dollar survival kit. And you may qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Advantage Gold is the number one rated gold and silver company in America. Your future is precious. Protect it today when you call Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
That's 800-900.
This is your KMTQ News Flash. A group of Russian hackers now claim responsibility for MGM Resort's cybersecurity issues that have plagued the casino giant since Sunday. That hacker group, known as Black Cat, claims it breached the company's systems with a simple phone call. A group also known as Scattered Monkey claims responsibility for carrying out the attack. MGM officials have yet to publicly comment on the issue. MGM Resorts is the state's biggest employer. It's got 10 casino hotels on the Las Vegas Strip alone. The cybersecurity issue that began Sunday continues to force customers to wait hours to check in. It sidelined slot machines and shut down paid parking systems, ATMs, and the company website, as well as mobile apps. The FBI confirms that they are now investigating the matter. Company officials say there are systems in place to operate and serve the guests manually during the computer system disruption. The latest incident, the second cybersecurity issue to hit the gaming giant in 4 years. Back in February of 2020, MGM confirmed that its cloud server had been hacked during the summer of 2019 with some guest information being stolen. Meanwhile, Bloomberg reporting that Caesars Entertainment paid millions of dollars in ransom back in August after a cyber attack on its systems. A group claiming responsibility there, known as Scattered Spider, saying there was an overwhelming amount of circumstantial evidence that could not be ignored. A district judge issues a preliminary injunction against the Clark County Education Association, claiming and calling for an end to the school district's rolling sickouts. Since the start of September, staffing shortages at 8 Clark County School District schools have forced day-long shutdowns there. Union officials told the judge the staffing shortages were not part of any union activity. CCEA officials say they will appeal that ruling to the Nevada Supreme Court. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
Join the Vegas Chamber today. Being a member of the Vegas Chamber sends a powerful message of credibility and that your business is connected to a larger community of organizations dedicated to ensuring Nevada is a great place to live, work, and do business. Joining the Vegas Chamber and becoming part of the largest business organization in Nevada has never been easier. Grow your business within your budget. Visit VegasChamber.com and join today. Sponsored by the Vegas Chamber in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet, located on 215 and South Rainbow, home of the...
Still seeing a lot of heavy traffic on I-95 heading toward the east side of the valley. That's all construction-related delays. It starts back at the Charleston curve on southbound 95 all the way down toward Flamingo and Tropicana there. Get down to two lanes at one point. Other than that, no accidents being reported on our freeways to slow you down. Still have that west side wreck on Rainbow northbound at Desert Inn. That comes with some lane closures there. Also new one at the east side intersection of Bonanza and Sloan. Got a slight chance of early afternoon thunderstorms. Beyond that, mostly sunny skies with highs in the low 90s this afternoon. It's 76 degrees right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
Here is just some of the bold agenda that I'll immediately implement when we become the 47th President of the United States. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after I win the presidency because of you, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settled. I'll get it done in 24 hours. I know them both very well. I am the only candidate who can make this promise, and the promise is I will prevent World War III. Nobody else is going to be able to do it.
Time is running out. Number two. Time is running out. Number three. Time is Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number two, live and local. Good to have you with us on a Thursday morning. Thanks for taking us along on your ride to work, on your drive to drop off the kids at school, maybe driving to an early morning breakfast. Great to have you with us. Thanks so much. There is so much going on around our town, and a lot of it is really, really good. We've got the prospect of the Oakland A's moving to Southern Nevada. We've got F1 that is coming in November and all the construction that goes around it. A guy that's been covering it all is Mick Akers, the fine reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He joins us. Mick, good morning.
Hey, what's going on?
I tell you what, I'm starting to get geeked by the prospect of Major League Baseball. Can you bring us up to speed on where we are? I know we've got a general contractor now for this A's stadium thing, but we've got some other stuff that's going on politically with a PAC and other entities that may bring everything to a screeching halt. Give me where we are in this.
Yeah, so obviously the A's made several hires, a contractor, they got a consultant coming in, basically kind of following the same path as the Raiders. They're kind of hiring the same people that built Allegiant Stadium, which, you know, came to fruition, so I say that's not a bad plan on their part. So they got that going. They're waiting for Major League Baseball to approve their relocation application, which they filed a few weeks ago. You know, I was told that's going to take some time, so, you know, by the end of the year, that should be all done and said, hopefully sooner rather than later on that end. Then we have this group called Schools Over Stadiums, basically a teachers union representing most school districts in the state, but not Clark County. They come out and saying, hey, we want to challenge this and, you know, try to stop the funding. They want to get this on the ballot in 2024. So they're launching a signature drive to get the needed amount of signatures to get this on the ballot next year. You know, they still haven't officially put that signature drive out yet. They just announced that they're going to do it. So, you know, it's kind of wait and see moment on that. And once that happens, to see if they have the support. So, so by that time, which they have until next summer to do that, Steve Hill from LVCVA said, well, by then we're going to have all of our agreements with the A's and the stadium ready to go. And we should, you know, get to work on the stadium pretty soon thereafter, which would then trigger SB1, the bill that guarantees the A's up to $380 million in public funding. You know, that's going to trigger that. So once that's triggered, you can't rescind the funds once that occurs. So, you know, just talking to people involved with this, they're not really worried about this signature push. But obviously, you know, if things kind of drag out longer than they expect as far as getting agreements done, you know, then that could come in and be a factor.
What do voters think? Is there any polling out that we've seen relative to this whole idea of rescinding, you know, the money for the A stadium?
No, I haven't seen anything official or any kind of, you know, documentation from this group at all. I think they're just kind of basing it on teachers should get more money. It kind of happened during the Raiders situation as well. A bunch of people are saying, how come you keep approving money, you know, for things like stadiums when teachers are struggling in the state and we're near the bottom in public school rankings here in Nevada. So, which, you know, doesn't come into play because this money wasn't there to be distributed anywhere else. This was generated just because the A's came and asked for it. So just the same as the Raiders when they got $750 million for Allegiant Stadium, that was created via room tax. The A's are going to be created by some tax abatements in the state and then setting up a tax district around the ballpark itself once it's constructed on the Tropicana site.
What is the timetable for Major League Baseball? They've got the application. What's going on now?
So they have a relocation committee, which, you know, three owners are heading that. They're reviewing it. Obviously, it's a large document. Kind of just breaks down everything from what went wrong in Oakland, how come they couldn't get a new ballpark there, what they had planned out here in Las Vegas, and some of the timelines. And then I'm told in there that they had to disclose where they might play in the interim between when their lease at the Coliseum in Oakland runs out and after the 2024 season, between coming to get here in Las Vegas in 2028 when that stadium is supposed to be done. So they have to have it done by the end of the year because there's a January date where the A's have to have this officially, their ballpark plan officially ready to go, because they're getting that revenue sharing from MLB. Obviously, they're not making that much money out in Oakland. Their owner, John Fisher, told me that they're set to lose $40 million this year. So they're trying to get it done before that, obviously, because that's vital for them right now, especially before they get to Las Vegas, when, you know, it looks like they're going to have a lucrative opportunity out here, similar to the Raiders. You've seen the Raiders valuation jump over 100 and some odd percent here since they got to Las Vegas. They were the 31st out of the 32 most valuable teams. So obviously near the bottom in 2015, fast forward to this year, and now they jumped to number six in the valuation list in the NFL. So the A's are kind of looking at that and saying, hey, we can probably pull off a similar trajectory once they get out to Southern Nevada.
I'm curious. This is weird, because you've got this effort that's going forward, signing up a general contractor, getting the property all ready. I'm just curious, the city of Oakland, what are they doing? Are they ready to throw some kind of a Hail Mary, or are they resigned to the fact that they have lost the Oakland A's?
Well, it seems like they're kind of slowly getting the point that the A's are probably going to be exiting the city. So now they're trying to play hardball as far as if the A's wanted to extend their lease at the Coliseum after 2024 and play there until they get here in Las Vegas in 2028. They said they have a list of demands, which one of them would include keeping the A's name in Oakland. Obviously, the A's are going to, you know, play that. So that's just kind of them, I guess, trying to be a pain in the neck as they're exiting, being the second team, leaving their market and coming to Las Vegas. So a lot of the fans and people who live out in the Oakland and the Bay Area obviously aren't big fans of Las Vegas at this point. They see us as stealing their teams, even though it's more of them letting them go, because a lot of the stuff out there as far as governmental and trying to get stadium stuff done, it's a lot of hoops to jump through. It's a little more complicated than it is out here in Las Vegas, especially in unincorporated Clark County. So, they're trying to make it as hard on the A's as they can, you know, in the facets that they can. But it's not really them trying to say, hey, we're going to try to stall you and make you not go to Las Vegas.
What are the options for the A's between now and 28?
So there's three on the board. It's either play in Oakland still at the Coliseum, potentially go over the Bay and share Oracle Park with the San Francisco Giants, and then also come out here to Las Vegas and temporarily play at the Las Vegas ballpark in downtown Summerlin. So obviously the first one, as I mentioned, the Coliseum, the city and the county out there are trying to make it tough on them and set all these, you know, different rules. Hey, if you want to stay here and play, you're going to have to do X, Y, and Z. Obviously the A's aren't going to play ball with that, especially with leaving their name there, because they've already said they want to bring, you know, the name out here, and it's going to be the Las Vegas A's. Then you have their Bay rivals. The two fan bases aren't, you know, the most welcoming of each other, and the front offices as well. So that one's kind of a weird situation to look at, because when the A's tried to build a ballpark in San Jose at one point, the Giants blocked that move. So, you know, there is some turmoil there between the two front offices. So that one's looking a little iffy as well, but you never know. If Major League steps in and tries to make that happen, that may occur as well. And then you got the one out here in Las Vegas, which would play at Las Vegas ballpark temporarily. There would have to be a few adjustments there. I'd assume they want to add some capacity at some point, maybe 3,000 to 5,000, and some of the flat areas they have on both sides of the concourse. And they can also add maybe a few in the outfield and such. So there's pretty much those three options. Just looking at where it stands today, it seems like playing in Las Vegas ballpark could be the one that makes the most sense, even though it kind of would sour their entrance into the market, playing there in the smaller facility for several years before their brand new 33,000 seat ballpark opens up on the Las Vegas Strip. So, you know, just they have a lot of things to kind of figure out, but there's three on the table now.
Mick, let me ask you, bottom line, when should we know about Major League Baseball, about all of these, packs and different things like that? When should we have this thing buttoned up?
Well, the A's are the final thing that the A's are kind of trying to do right now as far as their ballpark is they have a competition between two firms for their architect to design the full thing. They've been doing that for several months now, and they expect to have that done next month in October. I'm assuming, there's a chance that we might hear the Major League Baseball relocation vote by then, if not November. I don't think it stretches into December. The Las Vegas Stadium Authority will oversee all this stuff now like they did with the Raiders. So they went to quarterly meetings once the Allegiant Stadium was done just to, you know, keep up on their operations and maintenance of it. But now that the A's are coming in and they need to get all these agreements done, they've already scheduled several meetings throughout the end of this year. They have one coming up in a week and a half. Then they have one again in October and then another one in December. So just looking at those dates, I would assume between now and that mid-December one, it's going to happen between then. So we'll pretty much know if Major League, you know, approves of this relocation or not. But, you know, everyone you talk to says, hey, it wouldn't have gotten to this point if they didn't kind of survey some of the owners and say, hey, if we do this, are you guys going to be in favor? Obviously, it's a big risk and a big move. So they said, you know, they're pretty confident that they'll get the 75% owners vote needed to approve their relocation. And then you got the signature drive with the schools over stadiums. You know, that's just going to play out and how long it takes for them to get the 100+ thousand signatures needed of people who voted in 2022. So it has to be registered voters from 2022 that sign up and get up to 100+ thousand votes there. So, you know, who knows if they're going to be successful in that. And like I said, if they it takes them, you know, through and they get some of these agreements going, they get some of that funding going from the SB1, the bill that generates the $380 million for the A's, then it's just going to be too little too late on that end.
The other major story that you've been covering, and anybody that's been down on the strip over the course of the last few months sees all the construction and the repaving and different things like that. F1, the big question is, are we going to be ready November 16 through 18? What do you make of where we are right now relative to F1?
Yeah, they have a pretty precise schedule, and they've been following it ever since they started the paving operation several months ago. So that was like a two-phase paving. They had to do the initial paving just to kind of get some new asphalt laid across the entire 3.8-mile track that spans, you know, a portion of the strip, Harmon, Koval, and Sands, basically, you know, centered around the strip, though that long straightaway is going to be the highlight of the race. So they had to do that. Now they're doing the final paving, which is a F1 grade paving that has to be a certain thickness. It's, you know, a little bit more dense than the average roadway. So that one's about wrapped up now. They just have a few spaces to do around their garage/grandstand area over there on Harmon and Koval. And then they also have to do a little bit of paving, the final paving around the Sphere site where there's going to be some grandstands, you know, around that new arena and its exosphere. It's been, you know, getting all this attention lately. So they got that going. That should be done pretty soon. They've already started installing the track lighting that's going to go around the entire track. From there, they're going to start doing barrier installation. You know, and then at that point, it's pretty much going to be ready to go. They're adding a few temporary bridges. They're going to have some for vehicles, some for pedestrians. They're going to start – they started doing some of the pedestrian ones already this week, actually, some of the smaller ones. But you'll start seeing the major one. It's a vehicle one that's going to go on Flamingo over Koval. It's going to be about 760 feet long. It's going to have four lanes, two lanes in each direction. It's going to go over the stoplight there at Harmon and Flamingo. So that's going to take about 10 days to install, beginning about mid-October. So that one's going to be, you know, something to kind of keep an eye on. It's going to be a major feat there. They built half of it, and they had it on a dirt lot in Tropicana near the strip. They kind of showed the media that. They rode a bus over it, their fire trucks, some other vehicles to show, hey, look, this is a freeway-grade bridge. It's going to be able to handle everything. So they kind of are just kind of getting the infrastructure in place, and, you know, they have a pretty well laid out plan, so I don't think there's any worry that they're going to be ready to go come November 16th.
And the paddock and all the other stuff, the additional construction, is that all taking shape now?
Yeah, it's about 90% done in there. So obviously, it's a lot of the exterior is pretty much getting done. They're adding some of the screens now. That was kind of the final phases of doing some of the paving. They're going to build out the grandstands there, and then obviously the interior work. I was in there a few months ago, and it was still some work to do, but they had, you know, everything kind of set up to where that once they are ready to go, they have to do the install and bring in, you know, some of the stuff that's going to make it the luxury boxes that's going to be there. That's where a lot of the high-end VIP spaces will be for the race. So some of the more expensive tickets there. So, you know, they're kind of tracking. Last time I spoke, they said it's about 90% done. So, you know, just some of the fine tuning, you know, final touches on that end. So they're adamant, hey, we're going to be ready to go come November.
Will there be a point?